own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen. Amen. Boy, I know I'm on the right subject. I read this passage last time I preached. It was 2 weeks ago. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, there he goes again. He forgot what he preached about and he's doing it all over again. But that time I preached on wives respecting their husbands. And I'm going to stay on this track a little bit between Mother's and Father's Day about family. And talk about some family issues. Some people might not think that's not very Pentecostal. And some people might want to come to church and have a time of jumping and shouting and celebrating. And I like those. I wish we were a little freer. We got a little spiritual arthritis going on in our church. I need to be busted loose a little bit. Hallelujah. Whew, sometimes I need to shout. Anyways, but what we do in family is important, and it is our spiritual life manifested. And here's what we do sometimes, not we, some others, you know, other people. We can come to church for 2 hours, and we need to meet with the Lord. We know this is a place to meet with the Lord and to serve him. And we get dressed up and we get on our best behavior. Oh, we might have to holler at the kids on the way in a time or two in an unbecoming manner, but most of it's pretty reverent. We get here and we gather and we worship the Lord and sing Kumbaya for a while. And it's great. We come into the presence of the Lord. And it's sometimes it seems like when the service has said amen, she's over. And that's only 2 hours. What about the other 166 hours of our life for the rest of the week? And we can let down our guard. Anybody let down their guard this week? Don't raise your hand because there'll be mass confusion. And you said something unspiritual, did something unspiritual, hurt somebody, was hurt. It's because we let down our focus. We let down our guard. And Christian life is about living for Jesus Christ, a surrendered life to him, and letting him in, come into our life and empower us to live for him, for his glory and his honor and his praise. And that's the challenge. And I'll say this right at the start. You can't do it. You need Jesus. You need to be filled with his power. You need to be surrendered to him. And the trouble is we surrendered most of it. But some of it we never surrendered. Some of it we hung on to for a bit, and it keeps showing up. And there's some things I've kicked out of my life so many times, my foot's sore, and they come back. But we need to surrender our life by his grace and his mercy and his power and live for him 168 days a week. We're called to ministry, each one of us. And I'll say this at the outset. We need to submit to the Lord, to family ministry as the highest priority in our life. No other greater place of service than in our family to minister the things of God, and we're called to it. Marriage is a holy covenant. I think I said that last time, but I want to remind us again. It's a holy covenant made before God. Do you remember it? Standing there in front of all them people. Some of us were just a little bit wet behind the ears yet. And we were standing facing our beloved and shaking and knees shaking and saying, I promise to love and uphold for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, no matter what, till death do us part. Before God. It is our spiritual service. When you make that calling, you've already entered into that ministry. It's a way too late to back out now. You're called. And as husbands, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Let's go to work. We are to love our wives as our own bodies. Nourish and cherish her. Even as the Lord does the church. The call to love our wives is holy, and it's repeated in God's teaching to the church over and over again. I was wondering if God had forgotten that he already inspired Paul to write that once, or Paul had forgotten that God had already called him to. No. He says it over and over again because it's important. It's crucial and it's essential. And I want to just say, again, we're going to need grace and mercy. The call's big. Anybody who's gone into ministry knows, you can't even begin to touch it in your own power. It needs to be the grace of Jesus. We need to embrace that today. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Not be surly. Or cross with them. Funny choice of words. You can tell God wrote the Bible because he knows us. Husbands, when we fall short of loving our wives, guess what happens? Cross. Surly. If you're not sure that that's what happens to you, just have a look over to your wife, just quick, because you're not going to like it. That's what happens. You've made me wait for 15 minutes while you're picking up some tulips in the flower shop. We get cross and surly. Is my supper not done yet? Cross and surly. The tenderness of God's ministry we've lost it, and we've entered into something else. I want to suggest to you the Bible has lost nothing of its relevance for us today, and we need to take heed to what it says and mend. The Word of God says that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Command. Wasn't arbitrary. Wasn't a suggestion. How about this, men? Let's try this. It was a command. And we're called to do that. In the course of ministry, I've heard a few comments, even by very mature Christians, saying, I need a mentor. Or they say it somewhere this way, that they comment on an issue of hardship and they say this, God is trying to teach me something. Or I'm going through this and God is teaching me this. Some of these guys are as old as me. And I understand something. I'm not all that I'm supposed to be yet. If any of you are, have a talk with me. I want you to give me a few pointers. But I'm not what I'm supposed to be yet. I need to grow yet. And so today I want us to think about that as men and as families, that we need to grow up, mature. We need to grow. And while we are growing, we need to love our wives. And that's the title of the sermon. What do we need to learn, church? What do you need to learn as men? As husbands and as fathers, what is it that we don't need that we don't know that we need to grow in. You know what I found? It's not the stuff that I don't know that I need to grow in. It's the stuff that I do know that I have to grow in yet. It's humbling, isn't it? It's humbling. In the United Church, where I was saved, we don't do this in the Pentecostal church. In the United Church, one of the first things we prayed was to confess our sin when we come to enter into the presence of the Lord. We confess our sin. Well, we don't do that as Pentecostals because we're forgiven. Hallelujah. But, you know, there's times when we come in the church where we're burdened and we're weighted by this, our own sense of weakness and fallenness. And we used to pray for the sins of that we did and the sins that we didn't, the sins of the things that we didn't do we're supposed to. And there's something about this whole topic that we need to come into that place in our life as men, as husbands, and come to the grace of God and just realize, Lord, I need to grow up. I need to be forgiven. I need to be washed. I need to be transformed and learned how to do what you've called me to do. So, time to take stock, and I'm going to ask you men, how's your ministry going in your family? Are you focused yet about it? If you'll allow me just to ruminate on my own life a bit, I've been thinking about my personal life and about life in general quite a bit lately. I was thinking about when I was a boy. It seems like yesterday, but it wasn't. What I wanted to be when I grew up. If you asked me, Fred, when you as a little boy, when you grow up, what do you want to be? I would have been just about like all Canadian boys. I want to be a hockey player. And you guys won't even know these guys, but I wanted to be Rod Gilbert, Bobby Bond, Tim Horton. Tim Horton wasn't the guy who invented coffee. He's a defenseman, probably the strongest guy ever that I've ever seen. He's a Maple Leaf. Alan's taking great satisfaction in going back to those memories. Yeah, number seven. But as I grew up, either something came aware or something that I did not have the qualities or the whatever it was to be that. And when I was in school, they asked us the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wanted to be a vet because I liked animals and I liked science and I liked doing that. And I thought, I want to be a vet. Went to some career thing and you got it. Back then you had to go for 7 years of college to go to be a vet. I hated school with a passion. And I'm going, yeah, I don't want to be a vet that bad. So I just kept on with life as it was. And I met Shireen. That's my wife. By the way, I'm preaching on husbands love your wife, and this morning my wife left me to see my granddaughter play the piano in the Neilberg Church. You guys are swapping areas around. But I met Shireen and got married. And I'll tell you something, not much of my life changed when I first married Shireen. Not much. Oh, there were some things. There were some accommodations needed to be made. We had to gather up for meals together and, you know, that kind of stuff, wait a little bit for going out and whatever, decide what to do. But two becoming one is no small thing, even with God's help. Do you know that? I got 5 weddings to do this summer or this year. I've preached and harped at them until they think I'm the enemy. And I know that they haven't got a sniff about what they're getting into. It's true. Next weekend's the first one. They're going to say I do, and they don't even know they've been done. You know, like they won't know what they've got into. It's true. The things. Shireen's not here. I shouldn't tell stories behind my wife's back. Lord, forgive me if it's wrong, but I'm already too far. My wife, when we dated, never did this once. But after we got married and said, I do, we're sitting across the table with one another having breakfast. She takes her toast, dunks it in her coffee, and goes like this. I never seen my pretty princess do that once when I was dating. My mouth was just like, oh. When did you start doing that? You see, you never know the real person until it's too late. But once you say, I do, we're called to love that person as Jesus Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. There's some hard stuff about living together. And marriage is not about making love together, but making life together. And they're two different things. Rooted in the marriage problems that we have today and in our lives is that we forget what the definition of love is that God has given us. We've taken on Top Gun or some other movie. So here's what agape love means. And I've tried to define it a few times, but I want us to remember it because when we leave this place, we need to focus on what we're called to do. Could be defined as caring for one another. Could be defined as seeing another person's needs and actively meeting that need. It surely has the character of counting the cost and the inconvenience or even the dislike, or that there's something in your heart that doesn't want to do that, that you need to lay down to meet the need in their life. Picking up your dirty socks shows you care. The story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. They asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, and he said to love your neighbor. So they thought they'd trick him. Well, who's my neighbor? And he told them this story. And it should be on the thing there. Told them the story. And here's the things that it cost that guy. The Levite and the priest just walked by and passed by on the other side of the road. But the Good Samaritan stopped at risk. We don't know what's going to be laying in the ditch, if there's more robbers or what's going on. He did the effort of getting the dirt and the blood on himself. He probably didn't have a set of latex gloves back then. Cleaned the wounds, took off his own clothes, and bandaged up that man, and carried him to some place where he could get some help. Paid for the man to be helped, and then came back to make sure he was all right. That's the definition of love that God has given us. He's called us to that ministry of servanthood for everybody. And they asked who the neighbor was, and I want to suggest something to you. Guess who your closest neighbor is as a husband? Your wife. That's what he's called us to. If we move that. I mean, flowers are nice. They are. But it's just the tip of the iceberg. I want to make a radical statement. I don't know if it's completely true, but I preachers, we just go ahead and blast in anyways. Marriages that last, marriages that stand out, know that love is about surrendering our agendas, passions, desires to care for another person, to make life and goodness and blessing in their life. And Paul tells us, as husbands, we are to love our wives. Elwood McLean ministered for over 40 years to the Cree Nation of our region. Heard him tell a story of a Cree chief. I've told it before. The Blackfoot were at war with the Cree. And this Cree chief tied himself with leather thongs to a tree. And he said, if you send your best man, let us fight. And if I win, you will leave my people alone. And if I lose, we will serve you. Only don't hurt my people. Sounds kind of like the story of David and Goliath. Elwood said that day the Cree had a victory, and that chief never had any trouble with his people following him, because he said, if you love them, they will follow you. Husbands, if you love your wives, you will have no troubles with them following you. When they know that you care and will lay down your agenda. Husbands need to be leaders in the home by this. So you kind of dealt with that a little bit before. We need to be leaders that our spouses know that we care. Shereen, when we go to ministry, she's given her testimony not very long ago. She didn't want to go to Empress. She didn't want to go to Pinch Creek. She didn't want to go to Neilburg. She didn't want to come here. But the first two, we had that war. So what are you going to do? You going to divorce over the thing? Not just go into ministry? That's not going to happen. So I remember that she couldn't ever find the will of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, to say that it was time to go to Empress. Such was the confliction of her heart. But she said this, Fred, if you've prayed about it and you know that God is calling us there, I'm coming with you. And that's what it takes on the other side. As men, we make decisions many times that are hard. They do affect our family. They throw them into uproar. We have to make changes. We go places where we don't even want to go because it's the right thing. Our families will follow us when they know that we care and that we love them and lay our lives down for them. Have you ever wished that you knew then what you know now? I wished I knew about Dave Ramsey principles when I was 20 and had some courage or integrity to follow that out. I do. I wished I'd known about relationships. I wished I knew about girls. I wished I knew about booze, too, what I know now. I wished I knew about family and about life. But I'm going to tell you something I wished I'd known in the very beginning when I was married to my wife. Family has always been important to me. I come from a good family. And I have loved my family and I have loved my own family always. But I think I've always loved them in the context, at least at the beginning, of the dreams that I had for myself. You know what I'm trying to say? Never realized that my life was going to be all about family. Never realized that all of the rest of the things that I did in my life would be in the context of being family. A famous evangelist, I'll leave his name out, I remember him weeping one time, and he said, I'd trade the thousands I've seen who come to the Lord for my son and his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I didn't know that family was not just something that we did do and a good thing to do, but it was all about family and takes precedence over everything else. Ministry to our children takes precedence of priority over anything else that we can do. Nothing is more worthwhile than the ministry that we do to our children. Ministry to our spouse takes precedence over all else, because there's nothing more that we're called to as men than to love our wives and cherish and nourish her, that we might present her holy, without blemish. That's our job. Because being a husband is not just something we do. It's the God-given ministry that God has called us to when we say, I do. It is our calling. This funny thing, I've thought about it, how little we do to mentor these rookies that are getting married. I remember like yesterday meeting the preacher when Shereen and me were going to get married. Mary Thomas was her name, Lloyd minister for anybody who knows her. And she asked us about our own husband, our own moms and dads and how they had and how the things went. She said, you're going to find that the way you do marriage is going to be a lot like they do marriage. And I'm going, yeah, it's true. And you know what? I think by the time, like, Dad never got it until I was too old. It was already formed. And I know that I surely didn't know what I needed to do with my boys or the things that were important until it was too old. So we keep doing the same thing all over again. I'm going, Lord, is that the way it's supposed to be? Or is there something that we're missing here? And I think what we're missing is that at a young age, we need to give our heart to Jesus Christ. I wished I had been saved when I was 14. I tried, but it didn't take. so that I could read the Word of God and look in the Word of God and be challenged for this is how you do it. Because this task is still too big for us. But at least I'd been on the page and on the track. So leading our children to know the Lord and to be grounded in this Word is the way that we need to mentor rookies. We need to do that well. Fathers have something in common, all of us. We have never done it before. No dress rehearsal to parenting, is there? You don't get to run through two or three times a crowd of kids and then just they get to start all over. What it is what it is. And what we've done is what we've done. And the grace of God is great enough to cover it all. It really is. But as young men, I don't think we ever get the fullness of our calling. It's probably because we're young and haven't seen the full picture yet. It's later in life that family begins to show its true colors. There's a lot of old people here, or old guys who've raised their family. There was times of tragedy where you really grew. There was times of hardship. It was even times of rejection. The things began to change in your value system of what's important in life. I'm telling you that people in Fort McMurray will never be the same. It's not the house that gives us sanctuary. It's our family that is our sanctuary. Family's an amazing thing. As a dad, we can screw up so much that we can't hardly stand to look in the mirror, but our five-year-old son looks at us like we're just a hero. And it gives us hope and courage to go on. I've often spoke this at weddings. The smile of your wife will be your greatest joy and hope. I can't tell you how many times I've been absolutely next to crushed by the events of this world. But every time my wife comes alongside of me and believes in me and smiles and has hope, there's something in me that gets courageous and overcoming again. That's God stuff. Wives often don't know how to minister to their husbands. This is off my notes. But we need to stop preaching so much, and we need to start praying more. When you see your spouse, be a husband or a wife, stop trying to correct them, but put your hands on them and speak words of faith and blessing upon them and watch the change that happens. I've spoken before. There's many times I've been called to something that I could not face in my own. But when Shereen prays for me, puts her hands on me, His grace is sufficient. We need to just pray for us. And do you know what? My boys, we're going to talk about the blessing of the Father during this week or this season. But my boys, when they're in rebellion, if I try to tell them about Jesus, it's war. But when they would come down, and I'd say, can I pray for you before you go? And then just put my hands on before they answer. And pray. Almost always, there was tears in their eyes as they received the blessing of their Father. We need to have courage to walk in. As I grow older, life takes a different focus. So not from the pastor today, but from an older man and husband. It's not the trophies on the mantle that matter anymore, that we wrestled for so passionately when we're young men. It's not how much money is in my bank. It's not how much personal acclaim we have gathered. But it is about my wife's heart. It is about my children, if they're living well, if they have peace and joy and are secure and found life abundant. And when we get old, it doesn't really matter so much about us anymore, does it? Just if the family's well. It's a funny thing what happens when you grow old. You realize what it's been about all this time. And if I had only known when I was young and realized what it was all about, it's about family. Family is the work of God. If you will remain faithful to Him in your ministry, you will find out the blessing and the goodness of God's plan and purpose for family. He created family. Just a funny thing. We think sex is so wonderful, but God created that as a side thing. Earthworms can reproduce without it. We didn't have to have that. That was made for the intimacy that a husband and wife would know something that no other relationship knows about one another. But it's not about that. It's about our union together. We learn and we grow as people, as parents, as we go along. And that takes Grace and Murray. I haven't picked on you women much today. But guess what? You don't know it all either. You need to grow. And when a husband and wife make a commitment to one another, to allow God to work in our lives and grow one another and help one another in what God is doing with one another, guess what? There's a synergism that happens that changes your life and your world. It does. Family is a wonderful place to grow. How many of us have ever learned something from a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old? You know, it's incredible what they can teach us, isn't it, as parents? It was God's idea. And God's idea wasn't that the men would have it all together and come into this thing called family, and we would show them how it's all done, and there, you've got it. I need my suspenders today. And you'd walk out there going, hey, God, we got her done. It's never intended to be that. Church isn't like that either. He intends us to throw ourselves into together, put it all in there, and in the commotion of being a body of Christ or being a family of God, He works in our midst. And I'll tell you something that I've learned. God cares as much about the minister as the ministry. He cares as much about you, Dad, as He does the kids. You're all in this together. There's no age group on value for God. We will grow to be like Christ when we surrender to God's will. When we take our fallenness and our weaknesses, our sin, and offer them up to God and let His holy refining fire just touch our lives. Do you know what I saw when I was praying or thinking about this and praying about this? God is a refining fire. Guess what family is? It's the melting pot. When we're in that pot and His fire comes into the midst of that family, something happens. It's the same with the church. Humility comes in the battle. Life comes in the battle. I want to do something kind of in closing. I'm not sure if I'm going to close or not, to be honest. Husbands, we make jokes about our wives that are ungodly and unholy. I want us to repent of that today. She's not the old bag. She's not the whatever else the world says. I want us to repent about that. We need to turn away from that. There's some nudging. Because we don't want to go down that road. But I want you to speak something. Make something appear in your marriage that will do this. Honor her as a gift of God. Now, I want you to think about this, man. Where would you be without your wife today? I know some of you have had bad experiences and think, boy, I'd like to find out. But where are you with today? And I'll tell you where I would be. I'd be drunk. I'd be bitter. And I'd probably be broke. That's one of the things. I'd probably be a rotten to be with. Because there's been something about the steadfastness of Shireen that's been in my relationship that has brought me to this place. It's integral to the life-changing work that God has done in my life. We need to honor our wives and be thankful for them. And I told you this last time, but I'll bring it forth again because there's new people here. When I do marriage, pre-marriage stuff, it's such a big deal, you should pray about it before you do it. Maybe you should ask God before you say, I do. Great idea, hey, because hormones just lie. And here's some things you can do. You can take your list and write them down. Write them on there. Write them on a sheet. These are the things that I see that concern me about saying I do to live my life with Him for the rest of my life. Write them down. And then take a look at that list and go and pray to God. Ask God, Lord, what do you say? And when you come to that place, and you hear God saying, then you need to receive all of their failures and fallenness and concerns and their problems and say, Lord, I choose to receive this man or this woman with all of their faults and problems as your way of refining me, of working in my life. I receive them unto myself. One flesh union, guess what happens? Funny how we become like each other, isn't it, over time? Without a word, we know what's thinking because we're already thinking it. It becomes so much. We will become that. You need to receive them and receive the work that it's going to take to work your way through that in life. Closing. I was in Lloyd last week, I think it was, or it might have been the week before, and this guy comes roaring by me on the four lane with a red Mustang convertible. Got a thing. It's the only car that I got a little bit of, you know, wooshiness with. I like red Mustangs. And he's going by, and he's got the shades on, and the tunes are playing. We come up to the stop sign together, and I'm right beside him. And he's got a tanned head. I know he's been out south in the winter time, and it's bald just like mine, only he's got it shaved and chromed, just a thing of beauty. And he's got if there can be such a thing. Look like he's beautiful. Guess how old he was? Within 2 years, I'm sure he was the same age as me. And I sat there and I thought for a minute, there he is. He had I can't tell you what his license plate is because I'm afraid he's one of your uncles. I would give it away because I'm sure it's the only one with a license plate that way. Talking about how it's for me now. And here's what came into my heart. I wonder how your wife is. I wonder if you're together even anymore. Because it looks to me like somewhere's in there, their thing, the family thing, has just been something that you do while you get your dreams. Instead of, this is just something that I get in the context of my family. And I was so thankful for my marriage that Shereen and me, by some grace of God, have made it this far, 43 years, glory. Who could believe it? And I'm thinking, what a hopeless, empty world that guy goes to if he doesn't have a relationship with his wife that fulfills the covenant of God. When my uncle fell down the stairs. There's a little more to the story than that, but my uncle was a bachelor, and his heart was broken when he was a young man by a woman, and he never married. And women. It wasn't the women that broke his heart, it was him. And he fell down the stairs, and he was hospitalized with a lot of injuries. And I went and seen him, and he was a bachelor, and he was some 80 years old. And they released him to go back home. And that was a problem because he needed a bit of care and help. So I'd drive in the morning and drive in at night and help him out, make sure everything was fine and food and do a little bit of errands and that. I come in one night late. It's about 7:30 or 8, and he was already in bed, asleep in his house. And he never answered, so I just went in and I found him. And, there he was all alone. He had opened the Bible Interesting thing, Charlie, eh? It was open. And I left. And I started to weep. Because it didn't matter whether he lived or died. It did. It does. That it doesn't really matter. And nobody really cared. And walked with him, eh? And as a marriage, that's the most incredible gift. Is that we have somebody that will really care for us and love us. Family matters. We need to treat it with the utmost reverence. What do you want to be when you grow up? I wanted to be a hockey player, a vet, a minister. But what I realize now when I grow up, what I really want is a family. And a family that follows Jesus. That's really what I want to be a dad of. And so I need to remember that, because there's only 2 hours here, but there's 166 out there, and we get distracted by the stresses and the cares and the tinsel of this world, and we need to dig in. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll get the ministry team and come on up if they like now. And I just want to pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the men that are gathered here today. I want to thank you that they're in the house of God. And I suspect, Father, that there's men here that are feeling guilty and ashamed, sense of failure. There's some men here that are tired and well-doing and don't know if they got anything left in the tank to do anymore. It just seems like too much. Pray life and strength to them, Jesus. You care about family, and you have never given us anything, any ministry to do that you don't empower us and give us the grace and means to do. So I bless them today. I bless them with spiritual blessings of life and grace and mercy to continue and to bash on in their ministry as a husband and a dad. Strengthen them, Lord. Empower them. And wash them, Lord. Cleanse them from all of these feelings, Lord God. And it's not over yet. You're still growing us as a family, each one. And so I speak blessing upon the whole family now. Those that have got embittered, those have not understood the value of family, those that have messed up. And I just release them to you, Lord. You know them by name. You've watched every word and deed. And I just pray that you would take the things that have happened, things that the enemy has even been involved in, and you would turn them to good for your blessing and for your purpose in Jesus' name. Restore families, Lord. Do the work. Return the sons to the Father's love. Stir in fathers love for their children, for their wives, in Jesus' name. Give them the courage and the power to be servants to their families, I pray. May you receive glory, honor, and praise in our families. We lift your name up, Lord. We look to you. We ask, Lord, for your help and grace. In Jesus' name. What I wanted to do today was I wanted to bring Shreen up here and pray for my wife in front of everybody. And it's important. Ellie's first time playing in church. It's important for us there. But I want to ask you this question as men before I go. When was the last time that you put your hands on your wife and prayed blessing upon her? Or spoke blessing to her? Know how important she is. I want you to think about that for a bit. And I'm going to tell you something you're going to find it's hard to do. It has to be spiritual, because there's times where we appreciate our wives so much. So we hide behind them. I bring my wife beef jerky because it's a thing with us. She thinks it's kind of like flowers, only different. So we need to speak that. We need to honor our wives. I want to challenge you. I want you to take a big old gulp in your Adam's apple and find a way to honor your wives. And you know what? The wife, the first time, if you haven't done it for 49 years, will probably go, well, praise the Pastor Fred for stirring that up. And you won't realize that it came from your husband's heart. And something's been released that you can receive that. You need to do that. You need to receive that from your husband. Nobody's twisting anybody's arm here. Would you do that? Would you do that as a challenge today? Let's stand and just close. If there's anybody who wants prayer, Michelle said a strong word about Jesus. Be ashamed to go away. You're not right with God.